Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. In all my years in the world of yeshiva and Jewish education, I have yet to come across a topic that is more touchy, as it were, more on the minds of the youth, most often discussed and certainly thought about, than the topic of Nigia, of boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, and in general, how we approach the other gender, and a mixed male-female community, co-education, mixed camps, etc. This is a topic which, for obvious reasons, is very much on the mind of the youth, and also to a great extent adults as well, but certainly to a much greater extent young people who are not yet married, who don't yet have their own homes. And these are things that are on their minds and they want to know both from a halachic perspective and a hashgafic perspective what the Torah attitude is. And of course there are those who aren't so sincere, are just trying to start up and they're not really planning to follow what the Torah says. However, many, many, many great young people just want to follow the will of Hashem. They say, whatever Hashem wants me to do, I'm going to do. Recently I read a Torah journal where they printed a letter from a teenage girl from an Ulpana, from a religious Zionist high school, and she asked the Rav, she said, is it okay for me to go to Hafganot, to go to mixed protests for Eretz Yisrael, for Jonathan Powler, whatever it was? And she said, I don't want you to give me the answer I want to hear. I want to do whatever Hashem wants me to do. That's my job. So first he complimented her that she's so sincere. She just wants to do what Hashem wants her to do. And then he answered her question, which Emir Tzashem we'll get to later. But the bottom line is, sweetest friends, that this is a topic that's very, very important, very fundamental, very central. And first I'd like to discuss it from a halachic perspective, and then a little bit more from a hashgafic perspective. And then, sweetest friends, hopefully we'll be able to make ourselves holier, because this is the topic. The topic is Kedusha, and we have to know what it means to be Kadosh. But first we're going to discuss it from a strictly halachic standpoint. There was a sefer written, it was really written for people in Bnei Akiva, So it's not exactly coming out of the Badats, the Eda Charedis, Bnei Brak, Williamsburg. It was written by a fellow by the name of Rav Shmuel Katz, very popular sefer. If I'm not mistaken, he was a Talmud of Merkas Harav. Young man when he wrote the sefer, called Kedoshim Tiyu, Hilchos V'Halichos V'Chevra V'Tnuot Noah. What to do about boys, girls, mixed youth groups, etc. And he has nice haskamas here from Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook and from Rav Avram Kahana Shapira, from Rav Mordechai Elio, and from Rav Adi Yosef. So, sweetest friends, what we're going to do is, obviously we can't go through the whole sefer, but what we can do is we can learn in Ritz Hashem just a short letter written by Rav Shlomo Chaim HaKohen Aviner, the famous Rav Aviner from Eretz Yisrael, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Teret, used to be called the Teret Kohanim, now I think it's called the Teret Yerushalayim, where he talks about the halachic aspects of male-female relationships. This is a letter that he wrote to Rav Shmuel Katz in the year 1979, on the 17th of Shvat. And this is in the Sefer, again, Kedoshim Tiyu, which I recommend that you buy, just because it's important to have. A lot of great sources and makoros, and very easy to read, very clearly written. All the boy-girl halachas, a lot of halachas that come up in the summer, etc. So, sweetest friends, this shir should be Li'ili Nishmas Esther Bas Shmuel, Chana Bas Rabbi Yitzchak Yona, and it should also be the Refuas Aaron Yoshua Ben Chai Shishana, who was hurt in the last war that we had, so he should have a Refuas Shleima B'Soch Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael. Ha'im mutar, the question is, l'bachor l'bachorah l'kayim b'inam yachasei chiba v'kirva nafshiim. Is it mutar for a boy and a girl to be close to each other? Shelo l'matrat nisuin, not for the sake of marriage. Ma shemechune b'safa amamit, what is called in the popular vernacular, chaver v'chavera. Boyfriend, girlfriend, what does the halacha say? Rabbi Shmuel Katz asked Rabbi Aviner, what does the halacha say about boyfriend-girlfriend relationships? Tshuva. What's the answer? Barur shehu iser muchlat v'hadavar pashut v'eino tzarich berur klal. I don't even know how she translates that. It's a little harsh. He says it's 100% completely absolutely usur, and there's nothing to talk about. However, says Rav Aviner, just so that we can clarify the issue a little bit, I'm going to classify three different categories of isurim. Number one, there are those isurim that one is liable to be over on. There are those isurim that one will definitely or almost definitely transgress. And then there are those isurim that the very essence of the connection of the relationship between a boy and a girl itself involves issur. So those are the three categories, what they're liable to be transgressed, what they'll definitely or almost definitely transgress, and where the essence relationship between the boy and the girl is itself an issur. So here are the issurim that one is liable to be over on. Number one, yichud, seclusion. Physical contact, chibuk and nishuk. Hugging and kissing. Or at least negiya shel chiba, touching in an affectionate way. They might be over on yichud, chibuk, nishuk, and negiya. They might not. Could go both ways. Isurim, that one will definitely or almost definitely be over on. Histaklus, looking at her for pleasure. Hear her, illicit thoughts. Sicha yaseira, talking too much. And kalas rosh, lightheadedness. And then, what about Asurim Sha'ovar Malayim Be'etzem Mahut HaKesher? Those Asurim that the very relationship itself involves Isur. One, Iyat Rachakut Minashim, not separating oneself from women. And number two, Tipuach Yachasei Chiba, cultivating feelings of love. So now we're going to go through some halachic sources about the aforementioned Isurim. Number one, we'll start with the isurim that they are liable to be over on. Yichud, we know that the halacha says there's a machlokas whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. I'm saying interesting enough that yichud is an isur d'oraisa, but it's one of those isuri d'oraisa that's a siyag. We know that many times the rabbis make fences, but sometimes Rabbi Yosef Engel discusses this in his sefer. Sometimes even the Torah makes fences. So one example of that might be yichud. That the Torah didn't want us to have yichud in order that something more might not happen. But it could be an etzem and isur Torah. And of course, some say that it's only usur derabbanan, but it's certainly usur, and that happens quite often. That a boy and a girl are going out, so they could be alone in a car in a dark road at night. Boom! It's yichud. They could be at home sitting together and the door is locked, nobody can come in. It's yichud. So that's an isur that they're liable to be over on. Chibuk and Nishuk. So we know from the Shulchan Aruch and Ibn Ezer that Chibuk and Nishuk is absolutely Asur. According to the Rambam, it's Asur min HaTorah to hug or kiss a girl. We're talking here about a girl who's a Nida. She's over 12 years old. She's over 13 years old. And it's Asur Doraisa to hug or kiss her. Obviously, I'm referring to a boy, not to her mother. The Ramban holds it's only Asur Derabban, and that's the famous Machlokas Rambam. However, for us, for Yidden, for us, the Oraisa, the Rabbanan doesn't really play a role. We do it all. So that's the problem that they often come. A boy and a girl are sitting together, and all of a sudden their emotions get the better of them. And ain't apotropis la'arayis. Something happens, even if it's not actually complete arayis. But sometimes things happen. And we have to remember that a surim are fire, a surim are poison. So who wants to be in the room? One might end up eating poison. Just this is it's good poison. It's very tasty for the couple. But in the end, it's very bad for their souls. It's bad for the whole world. So that's chibuk and nishuk, which it's, you know, people don't realize, unless people know, how often it happens. I'm not talking about between people who don't keep it officially, people who just completely disregard it. They go onto onlysimchas.com with the kala, and their arm is around her, and her head is on his shoulder. They're not scared, they're not embarrassed that they don't keep nikiyah. We don't keep that. We fast on Yom Kippur. We bang our chest 500 times every Yom Kippur saying sorry about these things, but we don't keep it. That's, unfortunately, people don't realize the contradiction, and that's very sad, and that's obviously, nobody's perfect, and the person speaking right now to the crowd of 500 invisible Indians, and I have a proof that I'm speaking now to 500 invisible Indians, because I can't see any of them. So the person speaking to the crowd right now is himself very, very, very far from perfection, simply light years away. So I'm not being critical of any one individual. I have no right to be. The only person I can be critical of is myself. And there's certainly a lot to criticize. However, one must also note the contradiction that on one hand one says, Al-Chay Shechatana Lefanecha, Sikor Oyin, the Ritzas Raglaim Lahara, many things that we say, and people do them purposely. So this is not something that we can be perfect about in one day, but certainly in Avod, there's something to work on. And I really encourage the girls to work on this more than the boys, because the boy's Yetzer is a lot more, his Yetzer Hamin, his sexual urges and desires are a lot more in the forefront of his mind than the girls, generally. So if the girl is more careful, then the boy is, takes two to tango. So if she can be mischazik herself in this area, or mischazekas herself, she can also be mechazik the boy. And in the end, that's what a boy wants. A boy wants a girl who's pure and holy, and at least many boys, and they'll respect her more. And if she gives in because she wants to show him how much she loves him, she wants him to continue the relationship, so in the end, he's not going to end up having more respect for her. I've never heard somebody say, yes, I have so much respect for that girl, she fools around a lot. You'll please forgive me for the graphic descriptions. So that's number two, is chibuk and nishuk. So that's something that we have to be very, very careful about. And number three is just stam nikiyah. Nesinas yad, that he pats her head, or they hold hands. So this is also, according to the Rambam, asur d'oraisa, and according to the Rambam, asur d'rabbanan. Oh! So they say, no, we'll be very, very careful. No yichud, no chibuk and nishuk, and no nikiyah. Well, be careful. Nikiyah again, I stress, is a very serious issur. So, even if one claims that it's only derabbanan, that the Rambam meant only chibuk and nishuk is asur min haTorah, that nikiyah isn't asur, nikiyah is only asur, but asur, it's asur. What about shaking hands? So first of all, if a person's nana, if a person's holding a girl's hand because he gets hana, so Rav Avinair says that that's definitely included in chibuk and nishuk, because he's doing it for hana. So what's the difference if he hugs her for hana or he holds her hand for hana? But let's just say shaking hands with a girl. So there's a lot of literature on this in one of the later Tchumen journals. There was an article. A lot of people try to be matirit. Rav Moshe Feinstein said it's very, very hard to be matir. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, it seems from his language that it's aser. And the Stipler, the Chazanish, many people hold that it's yahard v'yavar. One should first die rather than shake a woman's hand. On the other hand, there are rabbanim, and this was the minhag in England and Germany, that a man does shake a woman's hand. Certainly if the woman puts out her hand, the man can just, they say, to make a dead fish. So that was what some people held, but that doesn't, just because some people hold that it's mutter if a woman puts out her hand to shake your hand, to shake it, so that doesn't mean that everybody holds that way. There are then those who hold that it's yahar v'yavor, it's avizrayo de gilei arayos, it's an accessory of gilei arayos. So that's one opinion. And the other opinion is that we're big rabbanim who would shake women's hands. Now why they're rabbanim who initiated that, I'm not exactly sure. Initiation, there's no reason to initiate. A lot of times the woman doesn't want to put out her hand for the rabbi because she doesn't expect the rabbi to shake her hand, so why should he get involved? So this is something that's very It's a very big question. But even again, if you're matir, shaking hands, but holding hands with one's girlfriend isn't included in this issur. So, times it might seem a little bit extreme. I remember many years ago I heard a shiur on tape by Rabbi Fran, and he made a very good point. He said that when he gets a call from a woman, his wife just gives him the phone. She doesn't ask any questions. Why? Because she knows. She knows how careful her husband is about these inyanim, and therefore she has nothing to worry about. So he said that Torah is a package deal. If you take the whole package, it's good. Then you know, a person knows, a woman knows when she's married, that her husband would never touch a woman. So if you're never going to touch, you're certainly never going to seclude yourself with a woman. It's never going to get any further than that. I always used to think that the famous president of the United States from about a decade or so ago, maybe or even a little bit more now, so he got in very big trouble and he made a fool out of himself in front of the entire free world. And it all started with Yichud. If there wouldn't have been Yichud, so he wouldn't have gotten in trouble. You think he has a good marriage? You think his wife likes him? Ask her. Next time you speak to her, ask her what she thinks of her husband. I don't know if she'll give you an honest answer, but we have good reason to suspect the truth, what she thinks of her husband. Afterwards, they showed a video that they had this gathering of people who were, all the interns in the White House, and the president was going around hugging them. And they even have a shot of him hugging this woman, who afterwards we found out that they were doing a lot more. So had they been shown a giyah, they wouldn't have had that official hug at the ceremony, then they certainly wouldn't have done what they ended up doing, and he wouldn't have ruined his marriage and made a fool out of himself and showed himself to be a tremendous behema baal taiva. Couldn't again and again and again and again with different women. So I'm sorry for getting into that topic, but it's a package. It's a good package. It's a good package. When a girl or a woman calls up my house, my wife also gives me the phone without any problems. Not that it happens so often, but from time to time, and she doesn't have to worry about what's being said, because when you're careful about this, then you know you can have a strong marriage. But if somebody knows that her husband isn't careful about these things, then there's definitely room to worry. So anyway, these are the first three categories. Next, isurin that one will definitely or almost definitely transgress. So number one, you have histaklus. If a person's mistakel lehanos, says the Mishnah Brura, in Siman Ayin Hei Sif Katan Zayin, he's over on an Isser Do Raisav Los Asur Acharei Levavcha, not to go after your eyes. So if a person is looking at a girl in order to get Hana, or he's looking at her, he just looks at her to see who's there, but then he's still, ooh, wow, she's pretty. So and he fixes his gaze upon her. That's it. He's over Rachmana Litzlan on the Isser Do Raisav Los Asur Acharei Levavcha Acharei Necha. And this is even if she's dressed properly. Certainly if she's not, sometimes I see guys sometimes who go to yeshivas and they're walking down the street with a girl, presumably their girlfriend or somebody they'd want to be their girlfriend, and they can't even look at them for a second because the Mishnah Berurah says that if they're not properly dressed, then what's normally covered isn't covered. You're not allowed to look at all, even the fituma. Remember, Moshe has a tshuva about this, about going to work in the city and it gets really crowded on the subway. And you know, there are these very fleshy women on both sides, and everyone's pressed against each other. So Rav Moshe says, if I remember correctly, Binyan Asiya of the Subvei. He writes Subvei in Hebrew, Samach, Aleph, Beis, Vav, Vav, Yud. So he says, listen, try to do your best. Don't look. Keep your eyes down as much as you try to avoid it. But if you have to go to work, you have to go to work. He says, unless it's going to bring a person to hero. If it's going to bring a person to illicit thoughts, then he's not allowed to go. But stop to go to work, one should, you know, there's nothing you could do. Otherwise, no Jew would be able to go to work in New York City, or in most places for that matter. Where I go to work, Baruch Hashem, you know, when you work in a yeshiva, so who do you see? Who do you see? You see where Yaakov Katz is a long Rosh Yeshiva frock. But that's, you know, that isn't included in the category of Arayas, Baruch Hashem. So anyway, that's the issur. The issur is that, and then of course a person, a boy who likes a girl, I always ask the guys, I say, you think the girl's pretty, that's it. The second he thinks the girl is pretty, it's lights out. It should be lights out because he shouldn't look. But then he's going to be looking for a hana. So when you have a co-ed environment, even if it's not his girlfriend, but just a co-ed environment, of course boys are going to be looking at girls for pleasure. So sweetest friends, does that mean we should be perfect? It's impossible to be perfect. Perfect is for God. But that means that one should try as much as possible to avoid it. And one does this by separating himself as much as possible. So that's one problem. Another problem of hirhur. A rabbi say, "V'nishmartim mikol davar ra," you should be careful of everything evil, that a person shouldn't look at a woman who's pretty, even if she's a single woman, a married woman, even if she's ugly. Say Chazal, "Shlo yahar adam biyom v'yavali de'tumah b'layla." You shouldn't think during the day and come to tumah at night. So, father, one has illicit thoughts, then one is over on the sister. And if one's going to look during the day, one's going to have illicit thoughts at night. There's no question about it. And this isser is an isser min haTorah. Says Tosfos, "V'nishmartim mikol davar ra, shlo yahar adam biyom v'yavali de'tumah b'layla." And a guy who's around girls and is not going to have her hurim, very sweetest friends, very difficult. For married people and certainly for single people. Next, Chazal say, "Al tarvis sicha in ma'isha." Don't have excessive conversation with women, which obviously one is going to be over on if one is involved in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. Now, sweetest friends, I'm not talking about finding a shidduch here. Finding a shidduch is a completely different category. You're doing it to get married. That requires a shir in and of itself. But now we're just talking about a 16-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl. So that's excessive conversation, but what has to be said has to be said. If you need to go up to her and say, "Excuse me, how much does this cost?" So that you're allowed to say. But if you just talk and talk and talk for the sake of talking, for no objective purpose, that's asr. Next, there's kalas rosh, there's lightheadedness, which is asr by the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Chaf Aleph, not to laugh with a girl, not to be makel rosh. So that is already an isur of kalas rosh, and that is very likely that they're going to be over on. And then, isurim, that the very essence of the relationship involves an isur. Well, it says in Shulchan Aruch, "Tzarech adam l'srachik me'an nashim me'od me'od." That's in Ebenezer Simon Chaf Aleph. One has to stay very, very far away from women. Me'od me'od. And Rav Moshe and many others have tshuvas about mixed classes. And of course, Rabbanim sometimes are matir if that's the only way to have a school. But the consensus of all the Chachamim is that the ideal is that it's separate. And of course, there's a big machlokas about the Maimonides school. Was Rav Soloveitchik, did he think it's lechatchila sheva lechatchila? Didn't he think it was lechatchila sheva lechatchila? Sweetest friends, the only thing I have to say is I find it very hard to believe that in light of the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Chaf Aleph, Yisrachik Minashim Ma'od Me'od, Rav Soloveitchik would say lechatchila sheva lechatchila to have boys and girls in the same high school class. That's a very, very hard thing for me to believe. And there was an excellent article about it, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Leibowitz in the RJJ journal. So you can read it there. I think it's, I know it's online. So you can read one of the RJ, I think it's an RJJ journal. And about this whole union of mixed schools and co-ed schools. So it's definitely not the ideal. And the question is, if otherwise children aren't going to get a Jewish education, then there's room maybe to be matir, because what's better, that they end up going to public school and they're with non-Jewish girls? And they don't say, okay, so better they're in a Jewish. And even if there are, separate schools and somebody goes to such a co-ed school, the Seder, so we hope in Mitzvah Shem they'll come to Israel and they'll strengthen themselves spiritually. But, so I'm not chas v'shalom being judgmental, we're just talking here about what the ideal is. And then he says, one more thing, that the God created us, says Rav Avinir, that it should be a man and a woman, and a husband and a wife, and outside of the framework of marriage, that's not the right way to do it. It has to be within the framework of marriage. So that's just a halachic overview of the various issues that are involved in boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. And a little bit more of a hashkafic outlook, just to know that it says Kedoshim Tiyu in the Torah, and this is, if you look in the Sefer Kedoshim Tiyu, at the beginning, he gives a very beautiful background to this whole issue, and he talks about, just in the halachic section, he talks about mixed dancing and mixed swimming. Mixed swimming, some people think it's a chumrah, but a boy's not allowed to see a girl's body. So one's mitzvah swimming is also surach v'levavchem b'chorei nechem. Hands down. And mixed dancing, there's also nothing to talk about. And even if the girl is dressed, but we know that when she goes into the water, it's not sanua. So the girls should definitely go into the water just when boys aren't around. So this is all from a strictly halachic perspective, but as I mentioned at the beginning of the sefer, he quotes some other sources, and just that people should know that the Hasidic Sfarim and the Muslim Sfarim are filled with this issue. And this is really, this is the Midah and Kabbalah of Yisod. And Yisod means the foundation, this is the foundation of all of our Avodas Hashem. If you're strong in this area, then you're all of your davening and your learning has something to stand on. And if not, it says in the Torah, Kedoshim Tiyu, speak to the entire Jewish people and tell them to be holy. It says the Medrash, Tani Rebbe Chia, Parashah Zunem Rebbe Hakav. This parasha was said when the Jews were gathered together. Because most of the Torah depends on this. On Kiddush, on Kedoshim Tiyu. Rabbi Levi says, Aseres Hadibros Kelulim B'socha. All the Ten Commandments are included in this injunction. Kedoshim Tiyu. You should be holy. And all of Klal Yisrael is required to be holy. What is holy? Rashi says, Kedoshim Tiyu means Prushim and Harayis. That one has to separate from the other gender. And it says that the reason Parash of Harayis is next to the Parash of Kedoshim is to teach you, Chazal say, that wherever you find Gether Erva, whenever men are separate from women, you find Kedusha. So really the way to get to Kedusha is to separate. That's not all there is to it. But a lot of it is to separate yourself from the other gender. That's the ABC. That's the foundation. And Sfarim talk, the Gemara in Yuma, that if you sanctify Mamates, if you sanctify yourself down here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sanctify you from up there. And that's a big yisod, that it's really up to us. To the extent that we want to be holy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make us holy. But it's really up to us. And what we have to do is, we have to take our tithes and simply overcome them. You're right. Naturally, it's somebody who's more animalistic side wants him to look and to see and to do other things. But what makes being Jewish so special and so wonderful and so filled with meaning and content is that we can overcome ourselves. We can overcome our most basic desires, our most basic physical desires, and listen a little bit to the neshama. So, and our neshama definitely wants us to be separate from women. It makes us very, very physical. A person's, when he's involved with his physical drives, he can't think of Hashem, can't think of Torah, he can't think of Kedusha. It's so overpowering, it's so overwhelming. And when one is separate, then one can completely, and he can get a geshmak from his learning, from his davening. But it's really up to him. When a person puts pictures of women, we don't even understand how it works, but it's called tuma. And when he sees inappropriate things, it's metameim. And tuma, the sherish of tuma is tesmem, is atum, is sealed. It seals a person off from God. So if a person isn't careful about the gidrei kedusha, so he's going to be sealed off from God, and he can do all the mitzvahs he wants, but he's not going to get too close to God. Chazal say, Barasi Yetzirahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. That, what do you do with your Yetzirahara? Your Yetzirahara, you don't ignore it. What's a Tavlin? A Tavlin is a spice. So Barasi Yetzirahara, I created the Yetzirahara. Yetzirahara is the meat and potatoes. But Barasi Torah Tavlin, I created the Torah, which is a spice. So you can use your Yetzirahara, but when it's together with Torah, then it tastes good. Then it's very beautiful. And that means that when one is single, one is learning, one is steiging, one is involved in ruchnius. Shein, I hear Ramatsuri Yalabaleva, Panimina Chachma, the Rambam says. That who's having your Urim? Somebody who's empty of knowledge, empty of wisdom, who's empty of Torah. But somebody is filling himself constantly with Torah, with the, he has a geshmak for a tosis, for a ktos achoshen, for a sheif shmeitzah, for a Reb Naftali, for a Reb Chaim. So he's just not, it just stops being interesting for him. At that moment. And then afterwards, it's a little bit more of a battle, but he wants more of the Torah. And what he has to do is just fill himself with Torah, and then when he gets married, he uses his ruchnias, his Torah that he has, to elevate his marriage. And then, obviously, he's allowed to be together with his wife, and it becomes a mitzvah. And actually, the mitzvah in the Torah of marriage is called Kiddushin. For the Goyim, for the Christians, it's, from what I understand, I can't say that I'm an expert in Christian theology, but it's dirty, it's filthy. Women are filthy. The act of relationship, the act of sexual relations is filthy. One should avoid it. I read a quote once from the New Testament that I think, again, I'm not far from being a bucky, and I'm not interested in being a bucky. But it's better for one not to have a woman at all. But at least get married, because if you don't get married, then you're going to go to hell because you're with a woman outside of the framework of marriage. But the ideal is no women. That's why their priests don't get married. Our rabbis get married and have the most kids. Vali, you should get married. You should get married. You should get married young. I know the story of a gadol whose kids, he was makpid, they all get married before 20. Somebody asked him why. Think they're ready? He said no. But they're not ready for this crazy world yet. So you get them married young. When does the Yetzirah kick in? 14, 15. So from 14, 15, they're busy with high school. They learn. 19, 20, boom, they're married. And then they can make the Torah a lot more of a talent for the Yetzirah. Now it's Kiddushin, it's holy. It's within the framework of marriage. And a lot of times people say, no, you gotta be normal. Nothing will happen. Sweetest friends, Chazal say, "Ain't up a trumpet slant rayas." When you're dealing with arayas, people always find a way. And therefore, again, on the surface, it seems a little bit strict, the laws of the Torah, and it is strict. But in the end, that's what salvages marriages. That's what makes a marriage pure. That there's no other woman in the world to look at to deal with other than one's wife. And once comes into marriage, he has no chas v'shalom, he's no previous experience with women. Some people say that, no, if you get married, you know, you don't know how to deal with a woman unless you hung out with girls when you were a teenager. But of course, that's nonsense. You know, I know many, many, many Haredi people who are married, and they're very much comfortable with their wives. Any new girl you meet, there's usually going to be a new guy, there's discomfort at the beginning. But once they get to know each other, they're very relaxed and laid back. And you see people, Kanai Nahara, with 14, 15, 16 children walking around the Rova. You know, they never had anything to do with girls before they got married. And they met a girl, and they get comfortable after a while. It's fine. It's cool. They don't need, and I know people who had plenty of, you know, new girls before they were married and had plenty of experience. And either when the time came, they couldn't get married. They're single and they're dating another girl and another girl and another girl. So all of their knowledge of women didn't help them. Or they get married and they get divorced. In the outside world, they live together first and they have a very high percentage of divorce. So, such claims are, not valid. And I once read that there was even a study done to that effect, that it's better for one to not to be involved in co-education. And I know people in school, somebody once told me that when he was in high school, he had such a pretty chavrusa, it was hard for him to focus. So, Vada, you know, you're in high school and there are girls around, the guys around, you know, are not themselves and the girls aren't themselves. So, if you think that I'm in favor of separate education, I am. Okay. Anyway, at the end of the Sefer of Kedoshim Tiyu, there's also a letter by Rav Elimelech Bar Shaul, who talks about this inyan of relationships between boys and girls. And he says, "Leguf chayim u'mizgeret mishalo, u'lenefesh chayim u'mizgeret mishalo." The body has its own life and framework, and the soul has its own life and framework. This Rav Elimelech Bar Shaul was the chief rabbi of Rehovot. Kirvat nefesh perusha ahava. Vilu kirvat guf perushat ta'ava. When two people's souls are connected, that's true love. When two people's bodies are connected, that's taiva. That's illicit desire. Kirvat guf v'nefesh perusham b'ziga. V'hi muteret v'ktusha rak b'nisuin. So when the body and the souls come together, that's a beautiful mesh, that's a beautiful mixture, and that's permitted and suggested and holy in the framework of marriage. However, when you're dealing with single people, it's the yetzer, it's something physical. I always tell guys, they say, no, it's, you know, I like her personality, and it's not only physical, and it's got nothing to do with that. I say, sweetest friend, you see that door over there? Yeah. Let's say she looked like that door. You know, and her nose was the doorknob. She's still interesting with all the personality she has? Obviously not. And let's say I point to myself, she looked like me. You know, I have a little scraggly beard, I'm a skinny guy, I don't think I'm ugly. I don't think I'm so bad looking. If you ask me, I'm definitely biased on the issue. Not objective. But they say, let's say she looked like me, you're interested? With the beard. They stop being interested. So obviously, when a person's single, it has a great deal to do with the physical. Even after he's married. After he's married, it's fine. It's also physical. But when one is single, you know, and one's yetzer hara is so strong, that has a lot to do with it. A lot to do with it. And that makes one more animalistic. And the more one is able to elevate himself, he becomes more spiritual. And then when he does have a relationship with a girl, it'll be a mizug. It'll be a meshing of the physical and the spiritual. And that's the highest level relationship. And we can create that in ourselves by being makbid on Kedusha. And it's never too late, sweetest friends. Even if one was nichshal, we haven't talked about zera levatala and things like that, but it doesn't matter what it is. Even if one is nichshal, one can always overcome and come back to Hashem. And Hashem knows, lo nitna Torah l'malachei hashareis, the Torah was not given to angels, the Torah was given to human beings, and human beings are filled with flaws. We make mistakes. So we're allowed to make mistakes, but we shouldn't repeat our mistakes. After we make a mistake, we have to pick ourselves up and say, we're going to try harder next time. And that's it. And there's always tshuva. And it's very good to go to mikveh to purify oneself. And this sefer, there's a very beautiful article written by Rabbi Tzadik of Uzi Kalchaim, who wrote a sefer called the Deras Emunah. There he talks about the tafkid of the Yetzer, that the Yetzer Hara is tov me'od, and it's good to have a Yetzer Hara, and it builds up the world. Rabbi Tzadik HaKohen says that if not for the Yetzer Hara, we wouldn't have a chedvus of the Shmaitza. That's what gives us a fire, gives us a bren. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu Borei Kol HaOlamos wanted was that not that we ignore Yetzer Hara, but that we elevate our Yetzer Hara. We make a Tov Mod, B'chol Avavcha, we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, with the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. So we use a Yetzer Hara. If a person has a Yetzer Hara, then he's jealous. So he sees somebody else finishes a Masechta. He says, I also have to finish a Masechta. He sees his friends getting married, I also want to get married. So that's a Yetzer Hara. It's better to get married because Hashem wants you to. But if you have to use it for... If you have to use it to bring better, good results. A Jewish family, a Talmud Chacham, and then hopefully you become more and more lishma as time goes along. And the sexual urge, when it stands on its own, is everybody has one, every dog has one. But a person takes the sexual urge, and he directs it to Hashem, and he says, Hashem, I'm only going to use it for you, I'm going to use it to marry a kosher bas Yisrael, a pure woman, a holy woman. And a girl uses her desire for a guy. She says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm using this to build a family and to raise children. B'derech ha'avos v'aymos, b'kedusha, b'tara, b'simcho, v'ava. So that's a beautiful, there's nothing more beautiful than that. And that's really what I think one of the biggest chedushim of the Torah is. That the Yetzer Hara can be used for kedusha. It's if it's good, it's the best, and if it's bad, it's the worst. So we're not trying to uproot our Yetzer Hara, we're trying to purify it, trying to elevate it. And how do we know how to do this? We know how to do this by following the Torah. God made us. So since God made us, God knows what the answer is. Some people try to be smarter than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, I'll do this, I won't do that, I'll do that, I won't do this. They make up their own rules. It doesn't work. It's a God thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world and He made the rules. He said, you want to be holy, this is the way to do it. It's hard, it's easy, it's hard, but it's hard. But that's the way to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the way to have simcha. The Sefer HaKadosh talk a lot about what robs a person from simcha in this world is the fact that he's not pure in matters relating to the libido, if that's the correct word, to one's sexual desire. That's what makes one unhappy. There's a Sheni Shmuel about it in Parashas Vayechi, other sources. But that's the Makor of Atzvus. The Makor of Atzvus is when you're far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's nothing that distances one far more further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu than being Prutzim Ba'arayis. Elo keim shel elu sone zima, said Bilam to Balak. God hates licentiousness. So send over the Benos Moab and they're finished. And that's an Amish death. It brought death and it is death. And we have this Koach HaYetzer of creation that we can bring so much good to the world. Who was created with the Koach HaYetzer? The Chafetz Chaim, the Vilna Gaon, the Chazanish, the Baal HaTanya, the Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev. These were people who were created with the Yetzer HaMin, with the sexual urge. Otherwise they wouldn't be here. There's no sexual urge, sweetest friends. There's no human beings. It's a wonderful thing. But it has to be done. And it has to be used only in the realm of Kedusha and only in the framework of marriage. So, sweetest friends, this is just on a tip of the iceberg, just in a nutshell. Some thoughts, some halachas about this inyan. And we should all be zocha and know what your personal situation is. If you anyone wants to discuss a personal situation privately, you can definitely contact me. And, Baruch Hashem, I have some experience in this area because I've been around young people for many years. Or, better than me, there are many, 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 many other people who are much, much greater than me, many Rabbanim and Rabbitsons and educators and just people who are, mental health professionals who can be very helpful in these areas. So it's very hard, especially when one is young, to deal with it on his or her own. So an older person should definitely be contacted and their services taken advantage of to help get through the difficult periods. And Amir Tzashem and Netzchus, we should all be zocha to live lives of Kedusha and of Tara and the Mele lives of Simcha. And in Netzchus, we should be zocha b'karav mamish to see the Kedusha descend down upon this world from heaven. Umala ha'aretz deyas Hashem, the das should be das Hashem, the hismazgus should be hismazgus with Hashem, and dato. It says, Ein ha'shchina shorei ala mishpachas ha'miyuchasas should be Yisrael. In the meantime, the Shechina dwells on the pure Jewish families, so we should be zoch in the meantime to have pure Jewish families. And as the Medrash says, brought by the Chida, that when there's enough Shechina in the world with these pure Jewish families, Hashem says, there's so much around of me on the earth already, I'll just bring it all down, and I'll bring the Mashiach and the Tikkun HaShalem, and Heira V'Yameinu, Amen V'Yamein, Shalom Shalom, sweetest and most beloved friends.